Whoa, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that always champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I'm Walter DeRailia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris and I are going to bring you another week of spills, chills, thrills, and more.
Hills.
How did that go at the beginning of Spider-Man? And then Spider-Man would sneeze and go, and chills, and or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah. And chills.
Like we do every week, we report the things that are probably the most important in
most
pop culture.
Most important, yes. They are, yes.
Yeah. And we, what do we do with that, Chris? So what we do is we take... Happenings
around the world
in pop culture, and we dissect and analyze it in a way that's useful to the listener.
Useful
to the listener.
Sure, I'm sure that the listeners are just thinking, they're just waiting with bated breath, with pen in hand, and paper, just waiting to get down all of our insightful knowledge and wisdom, and ready to, you know, just either preach about comics or perhaps try to make a buck.
Chris, you know it, and I know it. So anyway, let's start our show like we do every week, Chris, with new this week, and this week is brought to us by one of our main sponsors is Stella Artois Club Soda has been making club soda since anno 1366.
Anno.
That's a lot of annos.
That's a lot of annos. That's a lot of club soda.
And they make some fine club soda, and they've been doing it for a long time. You know what? It takes years and years to perfect the
absolutely
soda bubbly,
the bubbly
process.
The bubbles of the soda.
And they certainly do a good
job. They really do.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I'm going to start... normally, I start with a DC or a Marvel. This week, I'm going to switch things up a bit. I'm going to start with a comic by Boom Studios. And this is a resurrection, of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic.
Whoa.
Now, this is sort of a... I'm going to call it like a reimagining. It's sort of a restarting again. Well... Yeah, because you know what? Like when they had the Buffy comic before, but that was sort of like, you know, they had the ending of the show and then the Buffy series.
That was season 8.
Right.
That was a big thing at the time,
and
Chris.
Then the
oh my goodness.
Seasons continued on.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
And then they had
thing.
The Angel comic as well, and it was sort of all tying in. This is sort of a standalone. Here you go. It's a jumping on point.
Right.
Right?
Obviously the same characters.
Same characters, and I think it's still supposed to, I mean, it still looks like Sarah Michelle Gellar, and it still looks like, you know, all those same characters. So I think it's meant to be like a new jumping on point, a reimagining of the same characters, but it's the same, meant to be the same actors, same everything.
So Chris, we're going to get into this topic, generally speaking, a little bit later, but so didn't Buffy come and go?
Well, yes and no. It's come and gone and then come back and then gone again.
Or it's trying to come back.
I think it's trying to come back in a bigger way. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about that kind of stuff later on. But you know what? If, in fact, you are a Buffy fan, and there's still lots of them out there, this is a great way to kind of jump back into the whole...
Are there new Buffy fans?
I think there are people that are finding it again.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't think it's on Netflix, but with the advent of things like Netflix, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, all that stuff, even if you just, I would never do it, but, you know, there are those Android boxes and things like that where if you want to download the whole series and watch it, you could.
Right.
And so that the availability of being able to watch this stuff is much easier than it has been before.
I see.
So because of that, I think there are a lot of new fans out there.
Right, because they'll have access to the stuff.
Without having to buy a box set for $300.
Have
access to it in other ways.
Nice. Hey, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is number one from Boom Studios, is at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Next up, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy number one. Now, you're probably wondering to yourself, hey, Chris, how is that a number one?
Hey, Chris, How's that a number one?
You know, a great question. I'm so glad you asked. This is a number one, but it is Legacy Edition number 151.
151.
Now, this is it's a new Guardians of the Galaxy team. So on the... What?
Can I guess?
Sure.
So it's a team. Okay, it's a new team.
Well, hold on. I'm going to help you out with this.
Yes.
I'm going to help you out. On the cover,
uh-huh.
It has members. It has a number of members, but it also has some red herrings. Because
there red hair. Medusa.
Red herrings, not red hair. So it means that there's people on here that
aren't
not
on
actually
the
cover. Correct.
Right.
So
right.
On the cover, uh-huh. On the cover, we have... we have, what's his name? Star-Lord.
Star-Lord.
Gladiator.
Adam Warlock.
Nova.
Groot.
Moondragon. Cosmic Ghost Rider.
He's definitely on the new team.
Silver Surfer.
He's definitely on the new team.
Beta Ray Bill.
He's definitely on the new team.
And Darkhawk.
Not sure about him.
Okay, so of those new characters, there are now six. Count them, six.
Six.
Six. Characters that are on that team. I'm going to ask if you can try to guess.
I just guessed three, but you'll have to repeat them because I forgot them. Right after you said them.
You know what? So I'm just gonna go yay or nay when you say them now.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you give me the name and I'll say yay or nay.
Okay, that's what I mean. Yeah. So Silver Surfer.
Yay.
Incorrect. Moondragon.
Nay.
Incorrect. She is in fact a member.
I didn't even know she was a she. Okay, keep going. Moondragon. I'm getting good at this.
Groot.
Nay.
Incorrect. He is a member.
Oof.
Nova.
Yay.
Incorrect.
Oh, jeez.
You're 0 for 4. Adam Warlock.
Of course, yay.
No.
Are you serious? Yeah. I'm 0 for 5?
0 for 5.
Oh, I gotta pull a Costanza here and just be the exact opposite.
Beta Ray Bill.
It's a yay.
Yes.
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 Yes. See what I mean?
Gladiator.
You ever watch Gladiator movies, Billy? nay.
Correct.
Yes.
Cosmic Ghost Rider.
I'm on a roll. Yay.
Yes. Correct.
Oh, man.
See,
I just needed time, Chris.
Star-Lord.
To catch my bearings.
Star-Lord,
of course not.
Of course he is.
You said new lineup!
But they have to have some of the old and some of the new.
Of course he is, then.
Okay, yes.
I changed my answer to yay.
And then there's a girl, I actually don't know her name. She was Quasar.
Harry Gamora?
No, it's not Harry Gamora. She was Quasar. I don't remember her. She's got a weird name, and I honestly don't
Harry
remember.
Gamora is a pretty weird name.
Well, that you are correct there. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it here, but let's see here. Phyla.
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 Yeah.
Like Philo, but with
Philo.
An A. Anyways, new team in Guardians of the Galaxy number one on our newsstands today. This one's a special one, but it's by that Donnie Cates guy and what's his name here? Jeff Shaw. And they're the guys that did the Thanos book before, so everybody's expecting great things from these guys.
Wonderful. That looks good. Guardians of the Galaxy number one at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
All right. Also from Marvel.
Marvel.
You know, I thought we'd talk about this. It's something we don't really should talk about very often, and Star Wars is still going strong.
Star Wars.
How about them wars?
Looking for those wars.
Star Wars...
Come back to me.
...is up to 60. Up to 60.
Wait a minute.
And I'd say up to no good, but, you know, that's my...
That's not even... Heritage list numbering.
No, it's like that's brand new Marvel.
Yeah, what do you call that numbering?
Legacy
numbering.
Brand new Marvel numbering.
Right.
Star Wars number 60, written by Kieran Gillen with art by Angel. I'm going to say this wrong. Angel
in the morning.
Anzuita? Yeah. Anyways, Star Wars, you know. There's lots going on here. It's old foes, and there's a guy named Scar Squadron.
New foes.
Scar, rather, I should say.
Mofos.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. But, you know, the good thing about this book, it actually looks really good. Like, if you look at the artwork, it has an Addy Granov kind of appeal to it.
You know what? It does, and I don't even know who Addy Granov is.
Addy Granov, he did Iron Man and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
But, anyways.
It's got that feel to it.
It's got that feel to it.
Hey, you should go in and get the feel of Star Wars 60. It's at your local comic book shop. Check it out.
Okay. Also, we've got Batman number 63 And this, of course, has a beautiful cover by Tony Daniel. It looks like he's just beating up Killer Croc. And, you know, this... So, if you were a fan of the whole Batman and Catwoman getting together, and then, of course, not a fan of them not staying together and all that kind of stuff, this issue has a lot of... making out by Batman and Catwoman in this one. And,
whoa.
There's lots of hot and heavy kissing and stuff like that. You know, if that's what you want out of your Batman comic, there's lots of it.
Right.
Lots of it in this one. I'd say it's almost like a Batman romance comic.
Man, it's almost like a Batman Damned where you get the Batwang.
Well, almost, but not quite. But lots of hot and heavy stuff going on in this one with Selina Kyle.
Look out.
So, yeah. So wow. I think this is the most... But the weird thing is that it does have a lot of John Constantine, the Hellblazer, in it as well. So I don't want to give anything away. I don't know if anything going on there, but there might be some sort of supernatural type thing going on right now.
Wow. All right. That looks cool. That is Batman number 60. No, sorry, 63.
63.
And it's at your local comic book shop. That's a good looking book, too.
It is a great, that's a great cover. Good looking book. Great cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love those virgin, they call them a virgin covers where the logo, there's no logo. It's just a tiny print at the very bottom as to actual.
So there's
book
more
is.
Room for the art.
More room for the art. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I like it. But sometimes in some of those old classic, you know, 60s and 70s comics, it's all about the logo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You get that, you know, that just distinctive, identifiable logo to, say, Amazing Spider-Man, and you need that on your book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Anyways, that was Batman 63.
It was, and it's at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Next up, we have Naomi.
Hey.
Naomi number one.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is that new book that is the... I think it's going to be a sleeper hit. It's by Brian Michael Bendis and David F. Walker with Jamal Campbell.
Oh, Chris, did you just say that you think a Brian Michael Bendis book is going to be a sleeper hit?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. I think this is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it looks like it's more of a how this Naomi person has been affected by superheroes and what's going on. And on the cover it says, the biggest new mystery in the DC universe begins here. There's something more going on here that is meets the eye. And it's part of this whole Wonder Comics line by Brian Michael Bendis. So we'll see.
So he's creating some sort of whole new
I believe that he had a Teen Titans book, part of the Wonder line. So it's meant to be, I think I could be wrong here, but I think it's meant to be geared towards a bit of a, not young audience, but younger audience.
Right. Looking good. Something happening here, and it's called Naomi, and it's at your local comic book shop today. Chris has rhymed off a few, but trust me, there's way more available at your local comic book shop. We encourage you to go in and check out everything that's new this week.
All right, listen, we're going to have a quick musical interlude here, and then we're going to come back. And we've got lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to talk a little bit about old comics, old characters, new stuff, the careers of artists and all that kind of fun stuff. Anyways, let's have a quick musical interlude. What are we going to listen to here? Let's go with... how about this one right here?
Chris, that's swinging.
Did you like that?
Is swinging. I love that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That is good stuff.
Hey, Chris, excellent musical segue into industry news. And industry news is brought to us by the Lou's Club Soda.
Nice.
Now, the playoffs got you down.
A little bit, yeah,
your
a little
team,
bit.
Your
yep.
team
my team is not
your
anywhere
team
close
losing.
This year. Yeah, no.
Well, listen, it's good to know that you can never lose when you drink Deleuze
nice.
Club Soda.
Nice. Well, you know, Deleuze Club Soda, it, you know, I don't want to say what they also make, but this kind of segues into my next topic.
Right.
Right. So, okay. And I want to talk a little bit about... I'm going to give you, it's a bit of a quiz for you here.
Uh-oh, it's so early in the show, I'm not even warmed up yet.
No chance to warm it up.
Wait, hold on, let me have a little sip of club soda
here.
Get my neurons fired up.
You're going to need it. Years ago, back in my day.
Hey, Chris, how far back we going?
Back in university, I wrote an article about this, and I see that other people have written similar articles like this now, now that I'm on their internets. But I went back and I kind of looked at my old article from university back in print days before the internets.
Right.
Print.
Oh, right. Okay. Print. I get you. Go ahead.
So.
Go ahead.
This is comic book characters with addictions.
Comic book characters with addictions.
Addictions.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So whether it be alcohol or any kind of other kind of addiction.
I get it. All right.
So, and I want you to name for me. I have nine on my list here.
Number nine.
Uh-huh. Number nine. I have nine on my list here, and I want you to see if you can name, try to name all of them, but I don't know if you're going to get them all.
I think I'm going to get one.
Okay, you're going to get one for sure. I think once you think about it, you'll get more than one.
Okay, Tony Stark was an alcoholic.
Correct. Number one.
That's number one.
So, of course, now that was had a great story there with Demon in the Bottle.
Yes.
Which Disney decided not to even look into
with
the movies.
Chicken.
Well, they always alluded to the fact that he drank a lot. And even in the third movie, it was supposed to be an alcohol addiction that he was suffering from, but they made it be more of a PTSD from the whole, you know, Avengers, what do you call it? The Chitauri when they invaded New York and the Battle of New York.
Yep.
But initially, it was supposed to be an alcohol addiction. So, okay, that's one.
That is one.
Okay.
And
remember, it's not just alcohol. You can think of substance abuse as well.
I know that. Yep. I know that. Hank Pym was addicted to beating up on his wife.
I'm not trying to laugh at. I was not thinking of Hank Pym at all.
Okay.
But no, that is not. That's nothing to laugh at. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to laugh.
Me being doofusy.
But you being doofusy makes me laugh.
Uh-huh.
No, that is not one of them.
Okay. So, like, that's some sort of, like, what I meant was some sort of personal problem.
Right, no,
but that's
not
the same as an addiction.
No.
Somebody was addicted to drugs.
Right.
It was the Joker.
No. Now, think there are a couple, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Give you a hint.
Yeah, I need hints here.
Okay.
Because, Chris, I do some clean living.
I know you do.
I do clean living.
Okay.
A little club soda every now and then.
Right.
Just to keep
me
honest.
Right. Well, the other club soda, though. Not the club soda we're drinking right now.
Right. The other club soda.
The other club soda.
And,
okay. So I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Famous cover.
Uh-huh.
Bucky.
He was the shoot-up guy.
Not Bucky.
Speedy.
Correct.
Speedy, the ward of the Green Arrow.
Right.
He was addicted to heroin.
Correct. So Roy Harper was Speedy addicted to heroin. Correct.
Right.
Okay, now it's going to get a little harder.
That was pretty hard right up to there.
Okay,
it's getting harder after that, I'm done.
I'll give you some hints here.
Okay, I'm going to need them.
Probably the most famous, the top three most famous comic book characters ever created. He's in that list.
So it's either Batman, Superman, or Spider-Man.
Correct.
And it would have to be Superman.
No.
Batman.
Yes.
And he was addicted to Skittles.
No.
No?
He was addicted to... there was a storyline in the early years of Batman Legends of the Dark Knight called Venom, and he was addicted. He couldn't save a little girl from like a collapsed cave-in kind of thing.
Right.
And he felt he didn't have enough strength or power or energy, so he encountered this stuff called Venom.
Right.
And Venom gave him that extra strength, but also made him crazy. Eventually, he kicked it. He locked himself in the cellar and didn't come out for like a month or something like that.
Wow.
Maybe even 6 months. I don't remember exactly, but he kicked it. So he was, in fact, addicted to a drug.
Yeah. You know that... never mind.
All right. Here we go. Another one. Another alcoholic is in the same lines as Iron Man. It's a she. Mm-hmm. And she also has actually talked to Iron Man about all this. Now, see if you can come up with somebody from that clue.
Pepper Potts.
No. She's a superhero, so she has powers.
In the Iron Man universe.
Yeah, well, kind of, like, in that same...
Carol Danvers.
Correct.
And so, she was addicted to sex.
No, she was addicted to alcohol as well.
Alcohol. Oh, that's my next guess.
Okay.
There are people addicted to sex.
There are. None of them are on my list.
Okay.
Okay, right, just to let you know right now.
Because to you, that's not an addiction.
It's not an addiction.
That's not an addiction at all.
Okay. Mm. There are two from the Daredevil series.
Okay, that's the Merc guy was addicted to amphetamines or something like that.
And his name Reds was...
He was the mercenary, the Merc.
I'm going to give it to you because his name was Nuke.
Nuke, that's right, I knew him.
And so Frank Simpson from Nuke.
Yes.
And he was always had like a red, blue, or a white.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One was a pick-me-up, one was
bring me down, make me invincible type thing. Yeah,
yeah. That's right. So, and now who's the other one from the other Daredevil universe? You should know this.
I know I should. That's what's bugging me.
I know you've read it. You've actually read it, though.
Bullseye.
Nope. I'm going to give you a hint on this one. This character does not have superpowers.
Night Nurse.
No.
She was addicted to sex.
I told you, there's nobody.
Oh, I forgot.
Addicted
Sorry.
To sex
I'm not
on
paying
my list.
Attention. That's
right.
My problem.
She actually sold Daredevil's identity for more drugs.
Karen Page.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct.
Karen Page.
Karen Page.
Yes. That's good. I did not. Oh, Chris. See, once you tell me, I know.
I know. I know.
That's like most things in life, I guess.
That's true,
if you don't know something, somebody tells you, then you know.
Once I tell you, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know, and then you know.
A couple more. Remember I was talking about that Batman storyline?
Sure do.
That Venom actually is now being used currently by another character who's addicted to it. Currently.
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 Selena Gomez.
Incorrect. Oh, no. I'm just gonna let you know because this is Bane.
Bane.
Bane. Bane uses Bane. It for his strength and for to make sure there's no pain and all that kind of stuff.
No pain in the Bane.
What else have I got here? I got two more. I got two more. I don't think you're gonna get them. One of them is
don't sell me so short.
Okay, so one of them is my favorite character,
Captain America.
Correct.
He was addicted to sex.
Meth.
Meth.
Meth. He actually entered a meth lab. It blew up in front of him, and he became addicted to meth in the Streets of Poison storyline.
I remember that storyline.
He actually beat the crap out of Daredevil, not knowing what was going on, and was egging him on and all that kind of stuff. So
wow.
So Captain America and
Fire. You hear this, kids? You stay off the dope.
Stay off the horse.
That's right.
The last one, I don't think you're going to get it, is it's actually a classic character, Golden Age character, from the Justice Society of America. I'm going to give you that much. See if you can guess from that.
Well, that, of course, was our man.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he was addicted to minutes.
Well... In a way, he used to take a pill that would give him strength for an hour, and that's why he was Hour Man.
Right.
But he always needed that pill, and whenever he didn't have it, he always wanted it again, kind of thing.
You know who else was addicted? You forgot. It was Roger Ramjet.
Roger Ramjet.
Yeah, he did the proton pills that gives him the strength of 20 men for 20 seconds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Interesting. So. Well, was Roger Ramjet actually in a comic book?
I don't want to talk about it right now. Right. We got lots to talk about.
Good to
know
that you're on the ball there.
Let's
Walt,
keep the show moving along because we don't want it tripped up with with mistakes.
With
hey, Chris, you know, the mighty George Perez has announced his retirement.
I read about that, and so you know what? It's a sad day.
Since the 70s, since you know, like post Bronze Age.
Yeah.
So since the late 70s, I would say two giants had emerged in that time. Like,
right.
And that was probably John Byrne.
Yeah.
And George Perez.
I agree. Yeah.
Right. I think Frank Miller, you got to kind of count a little bit later, but not really though, because Frank Miller came about in the late 70s too.
Yeah, but his
but it seems Frank Miller seems different,
right?
You know, I don't know why.
Well, wasn't that stuff mainly in the early 80s though?
Well, Frank, I think Daredevil 158 was in like 78 or
okay,
something, like 79
right.
or whatever it was. Okay. It was just really late 70s. But definitely George Perez is amongst that group of the people that changed comics,
absolutely.
Changed the way they were drawn, changed the way their stories were told, all that stuff. And he's just such a giant in kind of the modern comics, so much fan base for George Perez.
Huge.
And he's announcing his retirement.
Well, you know,
now who retires from comics?
That's a great question. You know, I know, I used to see George Perez a lot, especially when I used to travel down to Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Comic Con. He was always there.
You would always tell me about that show, that it was a really good show. It was well run.
Yeah.
The hotel was kind of connected to the convention. Yeah. It was all just nice.
It was all nice. Right. It was not a huge show. Mm-hmm. It kind of got a little tired a number of years ago. I think they changed ownership or something had happened. I don't really know exactly what, but it's getting better again.
Right.
But George Perez was a fixture at that show. And the thing about George Perez was he used to do sketches for people, mainly head sketches for people. I can't remember how much he was charging. It seemed like it was a lot of money at the time.
Right.
But all the money that he made doing those sketches was going to charity.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and I know that he's done that for a lot of shows that he's been to. Whereas, you know, it may have been $100 even, you know, 15 years ago for a head sketch, which was a lot of money.
Right.
But all that money was going to charity. So it was sort of, you'd be happy to give it up. Right.
Well, that's fantastic.
So now, from what I've read, he's officially retiring unofficially. Now, what do I mean by that? He's officially retiring. He's not going to take on any more projects.
Yes.
He is going to do. He's not doing any more commissioned work.
Right.
He is going to do the odd.
Making appearances though.
He's going to do appearances. Yeah. I think he's going to do the odd commission from home. If he's going to be attending a show,
right.
He'll do, you know, two or three commissions at home and bring them to the show.
How do you win that lottery?
Well, you have to know when he's going to be attending, and then apparently in the article that I read said that 30 days before the show, you have to contact his art dealer, Spencer Beck, and then basically you get on the list. If you get in there within the first four or five or whatever it happens to be, you're in.
You got to grease a couple wheels.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows, right? I know that he did also say he's still going to continue to do the charity work, the charity head sketches.
Yeah,
when he can do it.
Right.
I know he had a lot of issues with tendonitis and carpal tunnel and that kind of thing. Things with his wrists. I remember seeing him at shows and he was wearing braces on his wrists.
Mm-hmm.
So I did read that he had other health issues as well. So you know what?
Right.
I think it was just time. Right. Fabulous man. Really super nice guy. You know, a giant in the industry for sure. I know.
Now, guys like Stan Lee, I mean, he technically never retired, but all he was doing was just signing his name.
Well, he retired from, well, I guess he never really did retire.
He was always in the public spotlight. Yeah. He was always going to shows. He was always working. He was always,
you
know, his job was probably the easiest, but anybody's just signing his name repeatedly.
But I know he was still creating stuff even up until.
Fair, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I don't think George Perez, I don't know how much.
Steve Ditko, did he keep working until his
apparently,
later years?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently he was doing, for a while there, you could find stuff on Kickstarter where he was doing his own comic with somebody else and like still kind of publishing things on his own. But yeah, he was still doing stuff. So a lot of these guys, I can't speak for George Perez, but you know, if he's like other artists and creators out there, He may continue to do stuff later on after he's been in retirement for a few years. Maybe he gets bored. Maybe he gets, wants to do a little more creating. Who knows? But I know a lot of these guys, when they do retire, they still have their finger in the pot, so to speak.
Wonderful. Well, Chris, we wish George Perez all the best of luck in his retirement. Hope maybe we can get him on the show. Does he still do radio show appearances?
I don't know. I'll next time I talk to him, I'll have to find out for
him. All right. Yeah. Maybe we can get him on the show and ask him how retirement's going.
Right.
Now, Chris, when my friend down in L.A., he got word of the George Perez retirement. He's going, hey, Walt, he goes, did you know there's rumors down in Tinseltown that there's other people thinking of retiring that we hope don't retire.
Oh, really?
Right? And I go, well, send me an email. Yeah. He sent me an email of some rumored other people that are contemplating retirement.
Oh, get out. Okay. Like who?
Well, you know what? They're saying Batman was thinking of retirement.
Batman's going to retire.
DC was going to retire him.
Okay.
But then DC remembered that they need to sell comics.
Right.
So he ended up not being retired. That is
very true. Right. Very, very true.
There was rumors, Chris, that Gene Simmons. Was going to retire. The bass player from Kiss.
Because he had a sprained tongue?
No, Gene Simmons, because he's getting a little long in the tongue himself. He thought maybe it was time let it go, right? Foghorn Leghorn. Was thinking of retiring. he's thinking maybe it's time the young cocks take over.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's very true.
Foghorn Leghorn's ready to take over. Yeah. You know what? This would be a travesty, but Ron Jeremy is thinking of retiring.
Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy.
I didn't realize he was still working.
No, he's working, but he says it's harder and harder to get up in the morning.
I bet. Well, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. So
it happens as you get older. Ever happened to you?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like a spring chicken.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
Is thinking of retiring.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And a quote from Rocky was, "I'm so old, the only thing you can hit above my belt is my head." You see, because old guys wear their belt up towards their armpits.
Yeah,
and Chris, good. I'm here to dispel this.
Okay,
But actually, it was a false rumor.
Oh, false rumor.
There was rumor that Chris and Walt were retired.
Oh, geez.
You and I are retired.
I didn't know that.
But it actually wasn't a rumor that we were retiring. It wasn't a rumor. It was actually a petition going around.
More like a threat.
To get us to retire.
That I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, don't retire.
Don't retire.
Keep working. But like I said, you and I wish George Perez the best in his
retirement. Absolutely. And we're going to keep going, as far as we know.
Yeah, we're not retiring.
We're not retiring.
Petition be damned. Don't sign it.
Oh, dear. Okay, you know what? Let's have a musical interlude here after that. We need to kind of cleanse ourselves a little bit. Let's go
the long in the tongue.
Long in the tongue. Let's go with this one right here.
Well done, Chris. Good hopping tunes.
Hopping tunes.
I think that was in a bouncy sea, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, I wanted to actually, before we go on, I wanted to talk about something. So you're talking about Batman earlier.
Yes.
And how, you know, the good thing that DC's not having Batman retire.
Right.
I read an article saying that the number of issues of comics being sold by DC was way down. So And I don't mean like the volume, I mean the actual single issues. So like DC,
so they're monthly, like they used to put out, I don't know, 78 monthly titles,
right.
And now it's like 55 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So but according to the, and I don't remember the website, I'm sorry, But according to the website that I was reading, it was saying that there was basically, I'll say they were down to like 69 or 68 different titles that we were selling in December.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the, and like Marvel had like 95 or something like that, and I think maybe in January of last year, Marvel had 98 and DC had 99. But because of the lower number of issues being published, their sales are like at, their total sales are like half of what they used to be.
Right.
Like in total volume.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I hope that Batman doesn't retire.
Well, tell me about it. Tell me about it. I bet you half of those sales are Batman related.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, exactly.
They are because there has to be, I'm guessing at least a plus, a dozen plus
right.
Batman related titles going out there.
Sure.
And I think the number 1, 2, 3 titles in Batman in DC are Batman related titles.
Absolutely.
And maybe perhaps JLA, which, you know, has Batman as the ringleader.
Yep.
So, let's hope Batman does not retire.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on with all that.
Because if Batman retires, then Chris and Walt might have to retire.
Well,
and you don't want that, do you? So you're going to go into your local comic book shop and buy tons
of
Batman.
Nobody wants that. Let's be honest here.
All right, Chris. Listen, let's continue with Industry News Part 2.
Part 2.
And Industry News Part 2 is brought to us by Deleuze Club Soda, VSOP Club Soda.
Club Soda.
Which stands for Very Special Club Soda.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Right,
I like that
a
lot.
In the Cyrillic alphabet.
The Cyrillic. one more thing.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
I know I'm sort of
Columbo here. I hate to bother.
One more thing.
I just hate to bother. One more thing.
Did you know the Oscar nominations came
yesterday?
Yeah. And Black Panther has been nominated for Best Picture.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
I have no comment. You know why?
Why?
I haven't seen it.
You know what? You're dead to me.
I'm sorry.
You're dead to me.
I'm sorry.
There's a reason why people don't listen to the show, and that's one of them.
Oh, that hurt, Chris. He got me right where it hurt. Wow.
No, you got to see it. It's a great movie.
Okay, I'll see it. I'll see it.
You know, it's on Netflix now.
Hey, stay tuned next week. You do not want to miss next week's show.
Are you actually going to...
It's Walt's review of... A movie that came out a year ago?
Black Panther.
Black Panther. I am going to review Black Panther for next week's show.
Right. So, are there
like trailers I can just watch?
Probably. Yeah. You can probably get the gist. I'll tell you about the gist.
All right.
So basically, what other kind
of pop culture movie, comic book related?
So this is the first time ever where a superhero movie has been nominated for Best Picture.
Now, were there other superhero movies that you thought should have been nominated for Best Picture? The first Superman, 1978? Nah, there was too many.
Nah.
There was the Deer Hunter and all that stuff going on back then.
That time period of movies was awesome, right?
Would the first Iron Man or the second Cap been good enough for Best Picture of the Year, though?
I don't know.
There wasn't an acceptance by the... the Academy for superhero movies back then. Because I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but let's say sci-fi movies of the 50s.
Right.
You know, that was kind of like, there's no way the Academy was going to nominate a sci-fi movie for Best Picture because it's kind of like, you know, novelty.
Right.
Whereas by the 70s, sci-fi movies like 2001, they're getting accolades whatever. Is it the same for superhero movies where when they started coming out, it's like, this is for kids.
It's for kids.
But now they're going, man
this
is good.
Is good points here, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think the only other movie that I can think of that didn't get a nomination that probably should have would have been Batman the Dark Knight,
right?
Heath Ledger,
right?
You know, that was a great movie.
Never got a dinner.
You know, so but you know, obviously times are changing. So you know what, Kevin Feige, whatever his name is, the guy that is head of Marvel Studios.
He's going through a phase.
He's delighted. And apparently he told the New York Times, I watched as he was saw the Oscar nominations come out. I watched them this morning for the first time in many years.
I watched the nominations come out.
I watched them for the first time in many years. I set my alarm. I haven't done that since I was a film nerd in college. I'm feeling a sense of pride and humility and immense gratitude attitude. You're going to hear me say the name Ryan Coogler constantly on this phone call. To me, the best thing a producer can do is find a person with something to say who has had a story to tell and can tell it in a way that the world responds to.
That's what
Mr. Coogler has done.
Who's Ryan Coogler?
He's the guy that directed Black Panther.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, so lots of stuff going on with that. I'm sure Marvel Studios and Disney is just delighted to have
Black Panther. I think that's fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I think... I don't know. Can it, I don't even know what other movies can stand up to it. Like, well, I mean, like, I don't even know what other movies. It's usually a drama. It's usually some sort of art.
You know, A Star Is Born was nominated, and Roma was nominated, and you know, there's lots of other ones that are nominated that I'm sure. This is going to sound very corny, but I'm just happy that Black Panther was even nominated.
I'm just so happy to be nominated.
I'm just happy to be
here. Just happy to be nominated. I love it when those award shows and the cameras on the face of the five, you know, actors that are up for best actor.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if you're a female actor, it's your husband. If you're a male, it's your wife. It's like they're coaching you before you go. Yeah, remember, don't throw a hissy fit if you don't get a thing. You're on camera.
Smile.
Yes, dear.
Smiles.
Laugh and clap.
Yeah. Wow. So, anyways, I think it's great that it's even been nominated. I haven't seen all the other movies. I've seen a couple other ones, and I'll be honest. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a comic nerd, but I think Black Panther is the best one of the ones that I've seen.
Am I going to enjoy it?
There's no reason why you won't enjoy it.
Uh-huh. I've loved every Marvel movie since
and you,
but I haven't seen them all.
Well,
but the ones I've seen, I like.
Yeah. But you know what? This is
No. There are Easter bunnies in there for like the movies coming after. Was it tied?
Yes.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
Was it tied like all the other ones were tied to the whole Marvel thing?
Yeah.
Sorry, the Avengers thing?
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Did
you see Avengers Infinity War?
Well, yeah, it was in Wakanda.
Right.
You're right.
So that's a huge one.
Hello. I guess it was.
And, you know,
that was great.
Bucky was in Wakanda getting his arm repaired and his mind repaired and all that before. Okay. And so, so lots of stuff going on there, right?
It's all coming together now.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
You know, if only you'd seen them when they came out.
Because it probably would have helped chronologically.
It may have. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's a... That boat set sail, so you know what? That's not going to happen.
All right, Chris. I'm going to watch it, and I'll throw my review in next week.
Watch it,
and
you let me know what you think.
Okay. Hey, Chris, let's go back to Batman.
Because
whenever you sense that you're in trouble...
Yep.
You just go to Batman.
So true. Mm-hmm. So true.
Not that we're
Are we
trouble.
In trouble?
Not at all.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? This show's humming.
Humming.
Uh-huh. Like a hummer.
A humdinger.
Batman. No, not Batman.
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics.
Yep.
Number 1,000.
Can't believe it's coming out.
Yeah. So us at the shop, we were going over, you know, the pre-orders for the covers.
Right.
And so we were going over all the covers, and my goodness, there are some fantastic covers.
Oh,
so they're doing the
yeah.
same thing they did with Action.
Right.
Because Batman was introduced in 1939 in what comic, Chris, again?
That would be Detective Comics.
Number what?
27.
Thank you. From May 1939.
Was that you just trying to see if I knew my stuff? Or,
yeah, it was. It was
okay, yeah.
yeah passed
yeah.
test. All right.
Did I pass?
Good. Yeah, you did.
Gold
You're
Star?
Fine. You're fine.
Okay, good.
You know what? Knowing when Batman came out does not deserve a gold star. That just allows you to sit beside me.
That's oh,
all.
Okay,
that,
okay.
That's all that okay. does.
I mean, it came out, what, 1931?
Hello. There's a 30s cover, a 40s cover, a 50s cover, all the way to the 10s cover.
Right.
So I'm going to go over the 30s cover. Was I watched? If you go online and check out the Steve Rude,
you got to see this.
Yeah, the Steve Rude.
That's my favorite one.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah,
the 1930s
you know
Batman
what?
Cover.
You know what I love about Steve Rude?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Rude is this to me. Yep. I could be wrong, but to me is this unsung hero of comics, where he has a style that really represents a large portion of what I always thought comics were all about.
Right.
Right? It's
right.
a slightly cartoony,
mm-hmm.
but can be realistic.
Yep.
But he's got a great eye, and
well,
he
made it a little pulpy.
Yep.
Made you know, pulpy, which is fantastic. Yep. And then Bruce Timm did the 40s comic.
Now, that was that sort of, I'll call it crazy kind of comic.
The cover. Joker. It's the Joker,
Joker
cover.
The
yeah,
Joker,
it's Joker
cover, right?
Cover,
wasn't it in the Batcave or something like that? Or was it just kind of a crazy
No, it was
cover?
Just like a really large Joke figure
okay,
kind of
was,
coming
okay.
out of a genie
yeah.
or something.
Okay,
like
yeah,
I forget
yeah,
what
yeah,
it was.
Right, okay.
But,
But that was very reminiscent of those crazy covers from the 40s.
And Michael Cho.
Michael Cho.
Did the 50s.
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah, which is a very, very cool cover. It has all those. Because the 50s was like such a silly, silly era of comics. Yep. And that's in that decade, there was all these silly little Batman side stories of the Scottish Batman and the Batman,
the Rainbow Batman
and all that. And so this was an homage to all the weird Batmans that
and Michael Cho's a good Hamilton boy, so you know what?
Fantastic
kid.
Awesome, he's a good-looking kid.
Good kid.
Jim Steranko.
Yep.
Did the 60s.
Now, he did a 60s one or 50s one for Superman that I was not a fan of.
Right.
The action one.
I actually...
But I don't mind this one.
I thought it was meh.
It's meh, but I don't mind it. I hated the one he did before.
Fair.
But I don't mind this one.
I thought this was meh. Because when we're going through and because you can pick the numbers of issues that you get.
Right,
let's get a whole bunch of Steve Rude ones. And then we go, let's get a whole bunch of Bruce Timm ones because it's got Joker on the cover, right? And everybody loves Joker.
Yeah.
And then the Michael Cho one we loved. And then there's like Steranko one was like,
we'll get two.
I don't know. You know what I mean? not two, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then I found this interesting in the 70s, Chris. They went to Bernie Wrights.
So that's interesting to me.
They took an old stock thing,
stock photo
obviously.
Of Batman because Bernie Wrights passed away a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that he didn't do his own fair share of Batman stuff. He certainly did.
Well, he certainly did,
But I thought it was an odd choice.
Well, because who is synonymous with Batman in the 70s?
Neil Adams. Who's also... still alive.
That's right.
They could have got him to do one.
I'm wondering why. Chris and I are speculating right now. What Chris and I are doing is trying to cause a rift in the community. And we're trying to antagonize and create conflict when there is perhaps is none.
But
at the same time,
it is.
I'm wondering why.
Yeah.
Neil Adams
doesn't exist.
Did not do this thing.
Yeah.
Now, also comes to mind, and you know what? I mean, I'll say it. In this day and age, we're going to get to all the other guys next, but every single one of these artists, except the 1970s artist, is alive and well.
Right.
So, and in today's comic book marketplace, there's a lot of activity and commerce around signature series.
Sure.
Meeting that creator at a con and getting, you know, Michael Cho to sign that 1950s cover and getting, you know, Steve Rude to sign that 1930s cover. Where the 1970s Batman, you can't do that, obviously, because Mr. Wrightson has passed away.
Yep.
Which again, is odd. And I'm just wondering in a weird way whether that'll affect sales.
Right. You know? Well, I think it might a little bit. And I think the fact that it's a stock image will as well.
Right.
I'm sure people will have seen that image before somewhere, so, you know.
Who else but Frank Miller can draw the 1980s
Batman?
Well,
that's very apropos.
Right.
You cannot
have anybody but Frank Miller draw the
80s. Yeah, I agree.
What Neil Adams was to Batman in the 70s, Frank Miller was to Batman in the 80s, and then some.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I like the fact that Tim Sale is doing the one from the 90s.
Yep.
He did a lot of those Batman the Long Halloween and that kind of
fantastic
thing.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic.
Right? Lots of Batman stuff then as well. So
you know what I liked about that whole Long Halloween and stuff like that is because it's hard. Hear me out.
I'm going to hear you out.
Okay, because so Frank Miller comes along and he just, you know, uproots everything. Right? Just tosses everything out the window, changes the game. And so... you can't up Frank Miller in terms of complexity because then you got to write a War and Peace type novel Frank Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
And Loeb and Sale, they don't up it.
No, they just change it.
They change it and they change it beautifully.
Yeah.
Right? And so Long Halloween wasn't as complex as The Dark Knight Returns.
No, but it...
but it was as good.
They created this awesome murder mystery type...
right.
...type comic that went for like 13 issues, and it was great.
Right. And I think that's what's great about that era of 90s guys like Sale and Loeb. They did something special with the character. You know, after... it's hard to follow a Frank Miller.
Oh, yeah.
So they tried not to follow
Frank
Miller.
Perfect decision.
Right.
Yeah.
So who's this guy in the zeros there, Chris?
So Jacques
Plante?
He's not a hockey player. Jacques is a...
Black Jacques? Shalock?
No, he's not a character from Bugs Bunny either. Mm. Jacques is an artist who does a lot of Batman stuff now. He's been doing a lot with the Batman Who Laughs character, especially with that new series that came out recently. He's a relatively modern artist. Well, he's still going now. So
now you mentioned to me before the show, because I didn't know who he was.
Yeah,
and you had to school me.
School, yeah.
You mentioned to me one cover that everybody will know.
Metal. Is that what you're talking about?
The Bathead cover.
Yeah, so that's Detective 880.
Yes,
he did a variant cover for Detective 880.
Right.
That's the Batman Who Laughs character.
Okay.
He looks like kind of a cross between Joker and Batman, but he's got this weird spiky thing for eyes.
Right.
So he's basically an amalgamation of the two characters from a different universe.
Mm.
So he's a crazy Batman. Lots of stuff going on there.
All right, Greg Capullo, the 2010s.
Now, of course, Greg Capullo is a phenomenal artist who did a lot of that work with Batman. With what do you call it? The Owl.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Court of the Owls.
Court of the Owls, rather. Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of stuff going on there. This list of artists is fantastic. You know,
Jim Lee did the normal cover, you call it, the one that's not themed to a decade. Right. And of course, there's a blank cover, so you can get your favorite artist to go and do that. Chris, man, we're running out of time.
We
don't even have time for a musical interlude.
Interlude?
You know, the club soda.
Yeah.
After a while. The bubblies go to your brain.
They do. They do. Yeah. It's true.
And
it's
cloud your reading ability.
So,
Chris, I wanted to end the show with. I actually wanted to make this kind of a larger portion of the show, but we got enough time.
We're running out of time.
We got enough time.
Yep.
The whole theme of these characters that nobody cares about. Let me just do like a 30-second spiel.
Yep.
So. Why are because I saw in the preview some sort of Little Lulu compilation thing.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why?
Yeah.
Like, who?
It's a great question. Yeah.
Like, where?
Who cares?
Right? Who cares? Yeah. You know, why throw money at characters that are dead and dormant and stuff like that? And then I thought to myself, well, have there been examples of dead, dormant characters resurrected to new fame? You know, the only one I can think of is kind of like maybe Shazam, maybe. I don't know.
You know.
Like for example, like Tarzan.
Right.
Tarzan has come and gone because Tarzan was of a time where now it's actually socially inappropriate to
have a
Tarzan,
character like Tarzan. Yes.
Tarzan is basically a consequence of colonialism.
Right.
You know, a European person goes to Africa and he becomes the king.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
because for whatever reasons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you can't use Tarzan. Tarzan doesn't work in today's world, right? But like a Little Lulu, popular in the 1950s, but nobody cares.
But I mean, even a character like, say, The Shadow.
The
Shadow or The Phantom. You know, The Shadow was a pulp fiction, a crime noir that really crime noir doesn't really exist in that sense today, right? Like the spirit, even, you could say. I mean, they've tried to do a lot of spirit.
But listen, the spirit is a great example of when our great Canadian boy, Darwin Cook, the late great Darwin Cook, took on the spirit comic from DC about 10 years ago. That was fantastic.
Okay, but
he did great.
It was awesome, but it's not like
it couldn't bring the spirit back to life.
It didn't shake the industry.
You're right.
It's not like all of a sudden
it didn't resurrect the spirit.
No, it didn't. It's just there's guys that you like you and I who read it and was like, yeah.
It was more the Darwin Cook vehicle than a spirit vehicle.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right. But it was a great story.
Right. But a Darwin Cook told story.
Darwin Cook told story.
Whether it's the spirit or the shadow or it wouldn't have mattered to us.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered to us. I see. So what's to be done here? Like what? How? Is there a formula, an algorithm, something to get? Because there's thousands of dead, derelict, dormant characters that lay in the waste bin of pop culture, right?
You had on your list Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse, believe it or not, I mean, really, for half a century, did nothing. Right?
Right.
Like, there was no movies, there was no cartoon strips.
Probably mid-60s until...
Until recently.
Recently.
I think they've done a couple of recent little films or something, but even then, it's nothing to be that's any big, anything big, I should say.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where like, but Mickey Mouse is such an iconic character with everything else that's Disney. But if Disney wasn't behind it, Mickey Mouse would be dead.
Right. That's my point. And so how do we, you know, the popular, the pop culture landscape, like I said before, is riddled with these,
Well, you need, you know, you need a Space Jam. You need a vehicle like where you know the Warner Brothers came back with all their Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck and all that stuff, and they had Space Jam with Michael Jordan, and it sort of reinvigorated and showed all these kids who all these old characters were. So you need something like that that's actually gonna how else is a kid gonna know who Little Lulu is or Richie Rich or you know
okay
hot stuff.
But no. Well, here's my point.
Here's your point.
So you do a Space Jam to show people who Little Lulu is.
Yeah.
But why even try? Like because there's no interest in Little Lulu.
But if you do it well, there might be.
Right. You know, but are certain characters of a time?
And
only of a time.
I think so.
Can we ever resurrect the Flintstones properly?
Okay, that's a great question. I mean, the Flintstones had a great run in the comics.
Right, then the Simpsons came and made the Flintstones passé.
Right. Yeah. But as you say, they were of its time.
Right.
So I know
that... But hold on. But, you know, a cartoon from that era like Scooby...
Yeah,
it's still kind of relevant.
It's different material, though. It depends on how. I mean,
I know, but I'm trying to get to the bottom.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think
like why has great granddad, granddad, dad, and you enjoyed Batman, but why has great granddad only enjoyed the Spectre and the rest of you not caring?
Well, I think it comes down to the character and the writers, right?
Right. And more importantly, can you skip two generations of a character's relevance and resurrect that character to relevance?
Right.
That's the key.
And you know what?
Can it be done?
How many times have we said, a great character is only an Alan Moore story away from being great again?
Sometimes.
Right?
Sometimes not.
Well.
A la the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like.
But the Spirit is a great example because it was hampered. They tried with that movie and it tanked. Right. Well, because bad directing, bad writing, all that stuff. Right. So you need to have all cylinders firing at the same time. So it can work. There's no reason why it can't. You can resurrect an old character.
I don't know. I don't. I haven't seen a Shining.
Okay.
If anybody knows, if anybody listening knows, say, hey guys, how about this?
Remember what they did.
Put it in the comments field.
But what about Dick Tracy? Dick Tracy came out with the Warren Beatty movie and Madonna in the early 1990s or early 80s.
That had novelty in the film industry because of Madonna and because of Warren Beatty,
but it
did nothing for Dick Tracy.
There was a resurgence of the characters.
How?
They reprinted all that stuff.
Yeah, and it didn't sell.
Well, somebody must have been buying it.
No, they reprinted it, and now it's available for like a nickel. You know,
you're such a pessimist.
Well, I haven't seen any example or any proof that this, and again, this Little Lulu compilation thing triggered this.
Okay,
this like debate in my head, like, why is this? Will this ever work?
Little Lulu, no, I don't think that. I don't think Little Lulu was ever going to do anything.
Right,
but I think there are characters
because they were of a time.
Right, there are characters out there that can transcend time.
Right. I hope so.
I think, as I said, it's just...
Yeah, we got to talk more about this subject. I think we left it a little too late.
Story away from being great again.
All right, we'll revisit this on another show because I think there's a lot more to draw to this conversation. All right. Chris, all the time we have, Comic Culture is on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. We're at comicbookdaily.com. That's where we want you to go and post some comments about the show. And we also want you to go and support your local comic book shop.
All right. Please go out and have yourself a great day.